Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a privilege and a pleasure to come before you. Hey, I just want to mention one thing before we get right to the main part of our show here. And it's this. I'm a guest speaker in a conference in San Diego. And the dates are September 16th through the 19th. I believe I'm speaking on the 17th in the morning, if I remember correctly. And it's Hear the Watchman, and you can register for it by going to hearthewatchman.com. And if you can't attend, which I hope you do because I want to meet all of you, but if you can't attend, you can attend virtually, and you get to use my name to get 20% off the rate. That's right. Jeannie and Mike, who are running the conference, said, Dave, why don't you give your people a discount? Oh, they'd love that. Yeah, 20% off, Dave20 is the coupon code when you order. It's online at Hear, as in H-E-A-R, HearTheWatchman.com. Hope we'll see you in person. If not, we'll see you online. HearTheWatchman.com, September 16th through the 19th. Well, we have Wrecker. He hasn't been on the radio for a while with us. He frequently comes over and gives a little guest appearance on the TV side of things, but I asked him to come on the radio because he's talking about something that we're all going to need. Something he brought up to me a few days ago, and I said, yeah, and he still wants to do the topic, and it's on preparedness. And it's kind of funny, I interviewed Jamie Walden yesterday, and Jamie said, Dave, I have visions of the communist Chinese coming down our streets. I have visions of riots. And a lot of people are getting this, a lot, not just Jamie. And I think it's time we turn our attention to preparedness. So here is our former vet, former military contractor, former federal, not former, present law enforcement agent. And his name is Wrecker. That's his stage name. And Wrecker, welcome to the show. I think this is going to be very productive for our audience.
Dave, thank you for having me on. And that former may keep getting longer and longer.
That was a Freudian slip, my friend. That's all. That was just a little slip. But yeah, you've been a vet. You've been a contractor. And that gives you kind of unique positions to comment on what's happening, which you did do on the TV side with regard to the debacle in Afghanistan. But as we move forward, what do you see as the dangers coming? And then more importantly, to the point of our conversation here tonight, what do you see as necessary steps that people and communities need to take?
Well, for starters, let me promote somebody. I want to promote Jamie Walden. That's a good Marine Corps brother of mine.
Good choice.
Jamie's been like me. We've been all over the world, been the same places around the same time. You know, he's also former Leo. He's been out there. He's done it. He's lived a hard man's life at times, and he's a wealth of knowledge. And I, you know, me and Jamie, we talk here and there, but every time we get to see each other, it's like brothers meeting all over again. So I promote everything that Jamie does. Stop by his website. Listen to some of the things that he says. He's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's not going to steer you wrong. But in the terms of preparedness, you know, so the reason why we're talking about preparedness is I know every time, you know, Wrecker comes on the show, it's me complaining. I have to watch my language, don't I? It's me complaining.
Yeah, we are FCC or regulated here. Yeah, you're right.
It's me complaining about politics. It's me complaining about politicians. It's me complaining about crime or what's going on with, you know, war overseas. So it's time to change the pace. I don't always like to talk about those topics. One of my most loved topics is talking about family preparedness, a community preparedness in a survival mindset for what the future is going to behold. Now, I have lived on a small farm for the past 5-6 years. And, you know, I grew up being on a farm. I grew up doing the ranching on a cattle ranch in Southeast Texas. It's very hot, very hard, and it sucked. There was nothing growing up fond about it except for swim breaks. And I'll tell you that in order to survive on a farm, you need to have blisters on your hands eventually. You got to have a little bit of calluses on your feet. You're going to work. You're going to sweat. You're going to be doing things in every kind of austere environment. chickens, cows, goats, broken down fences, torn up lights. None of these things care about the winter. They don't care if you have the flu. They don't care if the baby's crying. You're going to have to figure out how you will adjust your daily schedule, your daily life, and your daily mindset to all these different things when the time for survival happens. And when I say survival, I think this is one of those words, Dave, that gets thrown around a lot. You know, you have the survival this and the disaster that. We live in a roller coaster disaster, but that roller coaster goes about 3 miles per hour. All right, it's going to take a long time for us to eventually hit that final hill, and then the decline, there's no stopping it. Everybody's going to have the same reaction. It's going to be that oh crap moment when prophecy hits the fan. You're either going to be ready or you're not, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
So while we have the time, let's talk about what we can be doing.
Okay, let's do that.
So what we can be doing every day. Same thing Wrecker always talks about. Get on your feet and get moving. Get in shape. Walk, run, jog, lift weights, do calisthenics. Have a good cardiovascular workout happening, because you're going to need to rely upon your body very much when it hits the fan. You're going to be out of calories. You'll be calorie deficient. You may not be properly hydrated. You're going to be stressed to the max that, you know, at some point, your nervous system is not going to start firing correctly. You may be sleep deprived. So all these things that will affect you are things that I've gone through when I was in the military. There were days when I was in Iraq where, I mean, man, there was like 3 days straight where we were awake, walking, patrolling with guns and grenades and AT-4s, rocket launchers, you name it, and a bunch of us kids out there hallucinating because we haven't slept in 2 or 3 days. We've only ate a couple times. Our water's hot or our water's depleted, and we're, you know, you're going from house to house, or you're going from post to post. So these are things that correlate now with what happens when the power goes down. So that is the situation that I talk about the most. It's the thing that I prepare for the most, because it is the number one thing that puts everybody on an equal playing ground. Unless you got a generator, and we'll talk about power generation possibilities, but unless you got a generator, when the power goes out, everybody's back to candles and fires. So you need to make sure that you know how to make a fire. You got materials for that, right? But if you don't have just the proper basics for having a good, healthy body, a good, healthy regime every day, you're going to set yourself up for failure. If you feel lethargic right now because you're on your phone 12 hours out of the day, or you're playing video games, or you're couch potato, and you are actually concerned about a survival situation, you're coming at it with the wrong mindset. Look, I've been there, I've done this, especially when we were doing jungle warfare stuff. You will walk sometimes unexpectedly until you have blisters in your feet. And if you've never seen someone with foot immersion, where the bottom of the foot is separating from the skin because of water, it is extremely painful to watch. And trust me, you're not going to have the medical staff on standby more than likely to treat that. So, you know, you need to have good shoes. You need to have good socks. You need to have good clothes. You need to have a good cardiovascular system. What if you're already taking medication? If you're already taking some sort of medication, well, get your butt in shape, and that will help you, hopefully, when that curve hits, you won't get hit as hard. And don't forget this. We're all going through the epidemic thing right now, okay? With COVID happening, you're already seeing a big amount of people that are being affected with their natural immunities, and, you know, this type of virus and the viruses like it that are out there that we will experience eventually will have a various different amounts of autoimmune responses. And you may not know you have any of these things, but I promise you, if you are of bad shape, it will hit you harder than the guy who decided to go walk for an hour every day. It'll hit you harder than the guy or gal who decided to do their push-ups, sit-ups, and squats and lunges. Those people, the people who are in best of shape, and this is true throughout history, are always the hardest to kill. They're the hardest for viruses to kill. They're the hardest for bacteria to kill. They're hardest for other people to kill and the wildlife to kill. And don't forget, good Mother Nature is trying to kill us every season of the year. Get in shape. Be in shape. Stay in good shape. It's free. You can do it in your house. You know, and I strongly suggest get a good workout regimen. One of these days, I'm going to put it out what a basic good workout regimen is. But I can tell you right now, simple. Walk an hour a day. Good pace. Do at least 100 push-ups a day. Do at least 100 squats a day. And do some sort of a movement where you are carrying a pack of weight, some sort of a burden carry on your back or within your arms. Because if you haven't carried your child in your arms for 15 minutes, the older that child gets, the more you're going to hurt and the more you're going to realize children are not going to just keep walking. They're going to stop. And if you have to keep moving, you're going to have to pick your kids up. Now, I have 4 kids. Trust me, there's a reason why I still do my deadlifts and squats. If I have to drag my family, I'll have to do it. You got to understand, as a parent, there's no, oh, if I might, or when the time comes. If you love your child, if you love your family, you will have to do it. Their life will depend on you being able to do it. So let that be a motivation factor for you. Put yourself up for success so that when that day happens, your family is also set up for success. And teach your family to be on the same sort of healthy lifestyle that you are. Now everybody's set up for success. Okay, so we got the first one out. Dave, you got any questions on it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I do my deadlifts. I do my squats. Is that freestanding squats, or do you always have to use weight?
So I like to use kettlebell squats. I do front squats. I do back squats. I do a lot of body weight squats. Typically, I do about 200 of those a day.
Okay, now that's lower body, and I know why you're doing it, because you don't want to break down from the waist down, knees, ankles, feet, so forth. I get that. What about upper body? Do you do anything for the upper body?
So for upper body, I personally, I come at this from a strongman career and powerlifting career. So what I prefer to do is a lot of push-pull. So I have a lot of pushing workouts and I have a lot of pulling workouts. You can do bench press, you can do incline press, you can do curls, you can do your tricep pushdowns and you know, bicep curls. You can do shoulder pressing. But find something that is a pushing movement and a pulling movement. You know, you can easily get a rope and get some weight, run the rope through the weight, and just pull it for 30 seconds straight. What I like to tell people to do, and it's a way that I've been working out for years, so what helps me may not help you, but it's a very easy way to start this. Don't worry so much about repetitions. Worry about how long you're doing the work for, you know, and make it fun. Carry different kinds of weights. I have sandbags. I have Atlas stones. I have 300-pound logs. I have things most people don't work out with, but I have very burdensome objects that I use because it's going to hit my entire body, especially my core. So my core will constantly stabilize. If you think about this tactically, if you're carrying a heavy pack, plus you're carrying a rifle, plus you're moving, plus you may have some sort of a plate carrier on, all right, if you're one of those kind of people, and you may have a dog in your hand, you may have food that you just gathered in your hand, you may have 5 gallons of water plus your rifle. That's a lot of core stabilizing things. And, you know, farmer's walks, look that up if you don't know what it is. Get 2 heavy objects in your hand, walk for a minute straight. Do that 5 or 6 times. Anything that helps your grip is going to help you. Anything that helps your pushing and your pulling strength is going to help you. It'll help you in a fight. It'll help you in an emergency situation when you need to get something up or you need to get something off. If someone's on you, you can push them off, or if you need to pull someone up or pull yourself up. There's something a buddy of mine used to tell me. He's like, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm running through a street and there's a 6-foot wall and there's a, God forbid, there's a tiger running after me, I'm going to make it over that 6-foot wall. Now, my buddy at that point in time he played for the Redskins, and he weighed about 400 pounds, and he was a pulling guard. And I said, well, LJ, I don't think you're going to get over that 6-foot wall. Well, he did. He actually did. He said, I have gotten to the point that I have trained myself to get over a wall because I'm scared to death of tigers. I said, well, that's a strange thing to be scared of, but that's a unique way to look at something. If you're in a highly urban area, and you know there are fences everywhere, 5, 6, 7 foot tall fences. If you can scale that fence, you can get away from the crowd. If you can scale that fence, you can get to that next objective. So, you know, don't always focus on the machines that are in the weight room. You know, do something that's going to actually help your body.
Okay, let me interject here, okay? Let's use my routine, and I'm going to have you critique it, all right? Now, remember, I'm a guy in his 60s here, folks, so you're saying, oh, well, do that, I'm too old. No. If I can do it, you can do it, and I've had multiple injuries. All right, so one day I do the push, pretty much what yours is saying, and I like the complex lifts bench because it involves your back, your tries, your chest, your shoulders, and I do the bench. And I typically do 3 to 4 sets, 8 to 12 reps, depending if I'm trying to add weight or I've just added weight. And I do that one day. And then on the same day, I do the machine squats. Not squats, excuse me, machine dips. And where you put the weight around you and you dip down. And I do that. And then I do the tries. And I do the heavy bag, where I'm throwing about 350 to 400 punches, but 150 of those are 3 sets of 50 as fast as I can throw them, and getting my body into each one. I will swim, backstroke, just under a half a mile 3 to 4 times a week. Then on Tuesday, I go to the other... Oh, by the way, I do the... on Tuesday, let's go to Tuesday. I do the lat pulls, I do the rows, and I do the curls. I don't do a lot of, I do some buys and curls, but I don't do a lot of ISO exercise. It's more complex. And I do some bike on that day as well too. And I try to do, I do bike sprints. And I got this from Ricola. Guy's in great shape. You'll go 2 minutes regular, and then you'll go 1 minute of sprint. And then you go back to 2 regular, 1 minute of sprint. You're supposed to try to get to 8 sets. I'm on set number 5 right now. This is it's very draining. And then, of course, I do the heavy bag every day I'm in the gym. I do the heavy bag probably 5 times a week. So then Wednesday I come in, I do the legs. I do the squats. I do the deadlifts. I do knee extension, leg curls. And then I do straight leg lifts with, because I can do more weight if I don't bend my knees, so I use the leg weights around the ankles and do straight leg lifts. And that really does build up the quads around the knee, and it protects the knee. And then the calf raises to protect the ankles. So those are my 3 days, and then I take a rest day, and then I do the same the next 3 days. So let's take that apart. What do I need to be doing that I'm not? What am I wasting time on? Let's use that as a blueprint for people to kind of listen to. Because if you're not in shape and you're now thrust into a hostile environment, you're going to be one of the first to die.
Yeah, very true. So there's nothing wrong with your workout regimen. I would say that any type of HIIT, high-intensity interval training, is going to be good for your cardiovascular system. You want to keep your heart rate up while you're working out, but you don't want to go like above 140 beats per minute, but you want to be in the 120s to 130s.
Yeah, and, I get there,
you know,
easy.
Let it rev down a little bit and then rev it back up.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. I do a lot of combo sets where I'll do two exercises. I'll do one set on one exercise and another set without any rest. And that helps my cardio. Yeah. So there's another cardio boost that you can do there just with weightlifting.
Yeah, all those type of lifts, you know, any type of complex lift, so when you're talking about your main lifts, your push, pull, press, squat, all the other lifts are going to be an accessory movement to it. So the thing that's really fragile on most people is going to be the joints. So between the elbows is normally one of the most painful places, and then you got your shoulders, then you got your hips, then you got your knees and your ankles. For ankles, walking. honestly, just walking. If you want to have a very good workout and test yourself, put on a backpack with 40 pounds worth of weights in it. Go up a stadium, up and down 10 times, and see how you feel. If you take that and say, okay, if I laid this out linearly, then this would be me wanting to move fast with weight on my back. This is how I'll feel.
Yeah.
And what I would say when it comes to any type of push-pull, I like to be very basic with what I'm doing. I like to correlate what I'm doing with what I could be doing realistically. I use sandbags a lot. Sandbags are very unforgiving, but they're very cheap. I like to use wheelbarrows. I load a lot of weight into wheelbarrows, and I pick them up and move them because that's going to be a huge core movement. It's going to stabilize my back, my shoulders, my forearms. It'll do everything for you, just picking up a heavy wheelbarrow and walking. As a farmer, you better get used to that one. There's nothing really wrong with it. I love the fact that people are starting to do biking more. Biking's great for you. It's good. It's a good way to not pound the pavement constantly and beat your knees up.
Yes, really true, yeah.
Yeah, growing up in the Marine Corps, we were doing 7-10 mile runs every single damn day for no reason. And here's a funny story about that, is when I was in the Marine Corps, everything was run, and do push-ups and pull-ups until, your fingers explode. But when we got into country, I went from weighing 250 pounds with all my gear, with my breaching kit, with my gun, my food, my water, everything, to 330 pounds. So my body was never really used to the full weight of an actual combat load. And I was a saw gunner my first year in Iraq. So I carried a lot of equipment, plus a breacher's kit. And that breacher's kit's about 40 to 50 pounds alone. So when we were jumping over wadis or ditches, I had severely strained my ankle to the point that eventually I ended up breaking my ankle. We did it so much. And I just walked on it. They just kept wrapping it. I kept walking on it. That's why my right foot's crooked now. So I learned that while I'm carrying all this weight, the little guys who ran all the time, and all they did was run. They smoke cigarettes, drink Monster, eat Dominoes, and they run constantly. That heavy weight was really weighing them down. It was draining their energy. And guess who was the first guy to get thrown over a fence to go unlock the gate? The littlest guy. And it came to be that we all learned that we needed to do a lot more weightlifting. When we came back, we did a good body assessment. And every one of us that had any type of back fatigue, and I mean chronic back fatigue or severe plantar fasciitis, it came from those of us who were carrying a lot of weight, very cumbersome, because you walked miles and miles and miles on patrol, sometimes running here and there. And we realized that, man, we did not train properly for this type of environment. We trained for all-out warfare. And with a three-block war going from house to field to small alleys and back and forth, there was a lot of getting and moving in and out of vehicles. And it was funny to see that a lot of people's lower back hurt getting in and out of vehicles because the gear was so cumbersome. Well, the lower back ends up hurting because the hamstrings were either too tight or too weak. So most of the people who had lower back problems, your hamstrings are weak or they're too tight, which makes your glutes weak or too tight, which affects your lower back. If your lower back starts hurting, you're going to eventually throw your back out. Now, being that I'm a little bit older, I've thrown my back out about 4 or 5 times. And it is the most painful, embarrassing, and just put me down in the bed type of injury that I've ever had. Couldn't move for days. Now, I do blame that from doing way too heavy deadlifts along with working on a farm. Pounding T-posts into hard caliche ground is not very forgiving. But these are things that I realized that, hey, I really need to change the way I work out. I was still trying to do competitions. I was still eating my 10,000 calories a day. I was still, 305, 310. And I realized I'm too big to the point that I'm getting fat. It's hard to bend over and tie my shoes. I'm getting out of breath. I can bench press 600 pounds. Cool. That's not going to help me if I need to run. You know, I can deadlift 800 pounds. Cool. That's not going to help me if I need to get up and sprint for a while and run and be agile. So I started to revert back to, I need to be in high school football shape. I think the high school football athlete or the high school soccer athlete is probably the two best forms of physical fitness as a man, and this just speaking as a man, that you can be in. You need to be agile, you need to be fast, and you need to be strong. You don't have to be faster than everybody else. You don't have to be more agile than everybody else. And you don't have to be stronger than everybody else. But you need to have a good, healthy balance of all three. And then you put into the equation children. Me and my wife went on about a 10-mile ruck, and we brought our children along. Now, me, being the old numbskull, finger-dragging Marine that I am, I put 100 pounds on my back. I had a plate carrier, so I'm like, you know, I'll hee-haw my way for the next 10 kilometers and see how I do. Well, that was fine. But within the first 30 minutes, I'm carrying one of my children. And it ruined me. Completely ruined me. I eventually had one child on my arm. I had another child on my shoulders. And I was walking as fast as a turtle. And I realized once again, record, what you're doing is wrong. You need to reevaluate how you're working out. So I have now expanded my view on working out when I was very limited, and I realized I need to be much more focused on endurance. The endurance is what saves you. When you're doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you can be strong, you can be fast, you can be agile, but man, if you're rolling in the mat for, you know, a good 3 minutes with another guy your size, if your endurance isn't as good as the other guys, your technique may be great, but you're gonna blow down so fast that the other guy's gonna overtake you. And that was happening to me. So I realized my endurance is really where I need to be at. In the military, the reason why we ran so much was for endurance. Though we do it stupidly, I believe. I think there's a lot more creative ways that we could do it, a lot safer ways that we could build endurance. But, you know, running 10 miles a day, it does build endurance, but it breaks you down. So don't run to the point that your knees are swollen every day and your feet are swollen every day. Find that healthy balance. And everybody's going to be different. Dave, you may have knee problems and ankle problems, and you may not need to run 5 miles every day. You may not need to do box jumps every day. You may not need to do all these other things, but jump roping is always a good form. Cycling is always a good one. Swimming is a great one for endurance. That's a killer. I used to be amazing at swimming, and now I suck at it. That's another really good one. Speed walking. Do not negate the granny who's passing you by while you're going through the mall. Speed walking is not only an Olympic sport now, but it is actually a really effective way of getting cardio in. And it's funny because a lot of us older guys, you know, we started doing speed walking our gear, and we realize we are walking at a 4 mile per hour, you know, pace, and this sucks. This is killing me. My wind is gone, but it's one of those things you keep working at, and you keep working at, and you'll get better at it. Yeah. When it comes to working out and physical fitness, you're going to hit plateaus. You're going to hit that depression cycle where, like, I don't want to do this today. I just want to play Nintendo or Atari, or, man, I'm dating myself. You want to do all these things that, you know, are not really beneficial to you. So instead of watching Tucker Carlson for 30 minutes to an hour, get out and go walk. Listen to a book. I listen to audiobooks constantly. And when I do my cardio, that's one of my things. I try to hit like 3 to 4 books a week, and I'm constantly doing cardio while I'm listening. Or I'm outside working, and I'm listening to a book. So I'm learning, and I'm working, and I'm getting education at the same time. All these things really help me. They may help you, they may not help you, but what I would say is find that niche, find that thing that you feel comfortable with every day, and continue to do it, and continue to progressively make it a little harder every week, and you'll get better by
it. Yeah, there you go, progressive. You got to go progressive. I got to interrupt you for a second. We're way overdue for break. I'm sorry about that. Sorry. But let's go to break here, because this fits too. And I'm going to have Wrecker comment on this too. Folks, I want to spend some time on the physical part though, because this is something that we neglect. You think you're just going to bug out? Well, you might make it six blocks if you haven't done some exercise for a while, and it's not too late to start. You need to start now. But anyway, along those lines, you're going to need storable food. Did you see the World Economic Forum? And I did a piece on this yesterday. You're going to be allowed four types of food. Listen to this. Aquatic, which is okay. That's about the only thing that I could even stand to eat. They're all plant-based, insects, and then fake lab meat. Can you believe that? Fake lab meat? Can you believe that? But anyway, those are the four. So if you want food, you're going to have to store it, folks. And you got to start now, and you're going to have to find a place to hide it, because I guarantee they'll outlaw it at some point in time. And so for 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day with a special at the site, preparewithdave.com, that's where you want to go. Also, I think we're finding out in Afghanistan, behind enemy lines, how are people communicating where they're getting rescued by brave private contractors? They have sat phones. And they're going to take the internet down. They're going to take your phones down. They're going to take everything down, your cell phones, everything. Sat phones, well, if you're multi-satellite cell phone or sat phone, you're not going to be taken down, because they'd have to take down the military too. And if you have the right phone, which we do, the satellite phone store, you're going to be safe on this. And they can only track you to within, gosh, what as I said, a 50-mile radius, because they keep bouncing your signal all over the place. It's like a VPN for sat phones. It's absolutely phenomenal. Texting capabilities, broadcasting capabilities on texting. The sat phone does everything but cook you lunch. So how do you get yours? Call 855-980-5830. 855-980-5830. And I got to tell you, if I can learn how to use one of these, so can you. And then we need to talk about how we come out the other side. And what I mean by that is, you've got investments right now, and you've got money in the bank. You don't have to be rich, but if you've got assets to protect, you're going to want to learn to protect them. And that's why I went from being just an advertiser for Noble Gold to being a customer. And it's not just gold that they work with. They can bulletproof your 401k, your IRA, and they're into Bitcoin, silver. They have investment programs for everything, but they'll tailor make it to you. But you have to pull the trigger. They'll say, these are our recommendations. And then you'll have to pull the trigger, because it's really low pressure. It's worth the call just to get the information. Even if you don't intend on doing anything, I think you'd want to hear what other people have to say about the way you've allocated your resources. And how do you get a hold of them? 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And please note that the advertising we bring to you on the Common Sense Show is for stuff that we think you're going to need. We're not advertising superfluous, fun stuff, frivolous stuff. I turn down 90% of all advertising that comes our way for this reason. So that's why we are into the food, why we're into the sat phone, why we're into the protect your assets mode, because this is the time we live in, folks. We are controlled, dominated, and occupied by Marxist communists that are running our government, and you need to get independent of the system as quickly as possible. So I hope that you, if you don't get these resources from us, which I represent the best companies, that's when I went out and solicited. I said, hey, I want to sell your stuff because I know you're number one. That's what I did, or they came to me. I don't do number two stuff. I don't do number three stuff. I do top of the line. But if you're not going to use us, use somebody, because the day of reckoning is just about upon us. And speaking of reckoning, we're going back to Wrecker. And Wrecker, what do you recommend that people have in their bug out bag?
Okay, so let's talk about my favorite subject, food. Should be everyone's favorite subject. When it comes to food, I'm very basic about it. I do have some of the, top of the line, platinum style food reserves, but all those food reserves, all the buckets of food, to me, that is food stubs. That is things that I can barter with. That is things that I can use as food extenders. My food is on the hoof and has feathers on it. I have living food. And as a, my prepping mindset is farming and having gardens and making my own food to the best extent that I can. But when it comes to bugging out, you can do this very cheap if you have income deficiencies. Go to Dollar General. Go get beef jerky. Go get the canned chicken, the canned ham, everybody's favorite, the canned spam. And you can cube these things up. You can cook them over a fire in a stainless steel container. And you can pour a little beef broth in it or chicken broth in it. And you can have a meal that's nutritious, may or may not taste good, but it will have the protein that you'll need, it'll have the fats that you need, it'll have the sodium that you'll need. That's really where I focus at. And I also like to have a little pick-me-up. My little pick-me-up is gummy worms and gummy bears. There's zero nutritional value. They're horrible for you. Don't eat them. But they're a pick-me-up, because when life sucks, sugar makes it better for some reason. So I like to have a little pick-me-up. And I throw that into a bag of like mixed nuts, mixed fruits, throw some M&Ms in there. All those little bits of sugar that's in there help spike your insulin, which gives you a little bit more energy. So that's one reason why I have my pick-me-up, my pogey bait. You can also buy beef jerky. You can dice up the beef jerky, and then you can put that into a plastic bag. And whenever you boil water, you can buy a 50 cents, 49 cents for a pack of ramen, throw that in there with the mixings, put your beef jerky in there. Now it's going to rehydrate, and now you have beef pasta. It costs you, you know, $2, $3, right? So those are very, very simple, easy things. In my line of work, we like to call them hobo stews. Because you're spending $3 for some of these prepared meals that may cost you $15. It may not even be as much in the calories. Well, you really want to focus on your caloric intake. The thing that slows people down is that caloric intake, and then having bad food. You know, the crackers and, you know, chips and sodas, those are horrible for you. They're the reason why America looks the way it does. And I am just as bad as that. Ranch Doritos have completely ruined my pant size, and I'll probably never get them back because of it. But damn it, I like them, okay? But these are not things that I have in my go bag. For one, they're not going to last very long. You know, they're going to mildew. They're going to be bad for you. So I just throw them out. I don't have those things. I focus on carrying my own water. I have electrolyte mixes. I like to use Drip Drop, which is a electrolyte mix that we use in my realm of the work, and it's very, very good for us. There's also another electrolyte mix called Liquid IV. I strongly recommend both of those. If you don't get either one of those, go with Gatorade. You know, anything that's a good electrolyte mix. Make sure you always carry your water. And you need to think about this in your go bag, okay? Your go bag is to supply you to get to your next vantage spot. Your truck, your car, should be an extension of your go bag. So if I have food in a bag that's meant for 24 hours, maybe 72 hours, and that 72-hour bag is huge. So think about that. That's a lot of weight. Every ounce equals extra pain. So think light, but don't think ultra light when we're talking about the prophecy hitting the fan scenario. But your vehicle should be an extension of that. So I normally carry extra cooking utensils that I wouldn't carry on my person. I'll carry extra food stubs that I wouldn't carry on my person. I'll carry typically as much water as I can fit in there. And you need to think about this. If you're carrying bottles of water in your vehicle, well, in Texas, it gets, you know, 1,000 degrees, and it gets a million degrees in your car. So all the carcinogens and all the bad things that are in all these plastic bottles and, you know, gallon jugs, they seep into that water, and they make the water bad, right? They make the water taste terrible. So, you know, exchange those things every now and then. Every couple months, just throw in some new water. If you went through a really bad heat cycle, drink your water. You know, don't waste it. Drink it. And then just replace it. Right now, water is still an available commodity. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in a place where water is not available commodity, where it sucks to carry around 5 gallons of water. Sometimes you can't find that water. Sometimes you're drinking water out of a ditch with the locals, mm-hmm. and you may not have the intestinal fortitude to try and combat whatever's in that water. You need to have something to also filter that water. Big Berkey is something that I use. There's a couple other couple other ones that I use. Platypus is another one that I use for carrying water. I think they also have a water purifier on there. Life Straw is a decent one, though I find Life Straw to be tricky because the filter has to be primed with water before you can actually filter out water. So if you haven't done that process, you have to continuously do that process to keep the filters hydrated and the ability at any time to process that water. So keep that in mind. Whatever gear you buy, typically it's going to come with instructions. I'm going to say something that's going to be groundbreaking. Read the instructions.
Let's hope they're not in Chinese.
Yeah, read the gosh dang instructions. I have bought, me and some guys, we went on this big hike up in the mountains of West Virginia, and we were issued all this gear by our agency, and they just went out to like the local Dick's. They bought a bunch of gear and said, here, test this out, try this out, tell me how it is. I'm like, okay, so we pack it all in. Well, they didn't provide us enough water. So now we're having to hike up and down a mountain about a mile to go to the water source, which is, I don't know how many black bear we passed on the way there. And the night prior, we had a flash flood. So we were kind of in the sticky situation where we now actually had to use the tools that we were given. And some of us just like, I'll just rip everything out and I'll just figure out how to use this. It looks simple. And some of us kept our instructions and had to read to everybody else how to use the damn thing. So read the instructions, keep the instructions. You never know. You may get hit in the head with a rock or an acorn and lose your mind. Keep the instructions. They don't weigh anything. Test your gear before you have to leave your house for that prophecy hitting the fan scenario. Test your gear. No one's shooting at you at your house, hopefully. The bombs aren't dropping on your ceiling at your house, hopefully. Test your gear while you're not in an austere environment.
Yeah. Let me share with you this story. I think you're going to find this interesting. I used to have a friend from FEMA. I was a first responder volunteer on my campus back in the 90s, and FEMA came up and took over the program. And this is when I was younger and dumber. And they said, well, yeah, you'll help distribute the vaccines if we have a chemical or bio attack, and your family will be the first to get them. I thought, well okay. To me, that was a good deal at the time. Little did I know that there was a guy named Anthony Fauci in the world. So FEMA came in, and I got to be really good friends with this guy that we did transition meetings with. And and we started hanging out together. We'd go to dinner, we'd go play basketball, work out in the gym. And one day I came over to his house and I said, where are the kids? Oh, they're on an outing. Oh, well, who took them? Because his wife was there. Oh, no, we took them out to such and such a place and dropped them off, and they'll be there for the weekend and they'll call us when they're done. He used to practice bug out with his kids and made them do it independently. And then in 2012, he was counter-bioterrorism. In 2012, he did bug out with like-minded people. I don't know if you ever heard of this, but this crossed different agencies, FEMA, DHS, and I think it was DEA. And these guys had built a survival community. And I'm guessing there was between what he said, probably 20 to 40. I'm not sure of the number. But it was partially subterranean, and it was in a very remote location. And I said, why are you doing this? And he said, because I know about weapons that no one else knows that we have, and they will be unleashed on Americans if we don't quell our populism. This was in 2012, four years prior to Trump. Obama is still president. He just won a second term. And I said, oh my gosh, so you're really doing this? Yeah, he bugged out. They took the families with him, the whole nine yards. I don't know, did you ever hear about the survivalist alphabet soup agency guys?
Yeah, and you know, it's actually not uncommon within our community to have that kind of mindset, and to teach your children, because within our community we have learned to teach our family, kind of teach back lesson, a lot of the things that we've learned. Because if it helps me survive, why wouldn't I want my children to know at least the basic mechanics of survival, or my spouse? Because if something happens to me and I become incapacitated, my spouse knows a lot of the things I do. Not everything, but she knows a lot of the basic things that will keep everybody stable. And that's something, as when we talk about a community preparedness, we're talking about the individual, then the family, in the community, right? So make sure you're training your family on whatever you're learning. I'm a very, very big fan, and I happen to own many of his books, of Dave Canterbury. Dave Canterbury is a former Army guy. He's got a huge, vast majority of survival knowledge, being in the woods as a woodsman, and bushcrafting. And I would tell you to anybody to subscribe to his channel, watch the things that that man teaches you. I've learned a lot of things that I should have remembered and relearned from Dave Canterbury.
How do you spell his? How do you spell his name? We're gonna send people to him. Let's spell his name.
C-A-N. Let me see. C-A-N-T-E-R-B-U-R-Y. Dave Canterbury. Okay. He has a website called Self Reliance Outfitters. He sells a lot of good things on there that is all involved with bushcrafting. And he breaks it down to the basics of what the average everyday American should be knowing how to do. If you know how to play with stocks online, you should know how to start a fire. You know, if you work in a very easy environment, you should be testing yourself with outdoor skills. That's my mindset. And I'll bring to you just real quick what he calls the 5 C's of survivability. And it's something that's taught in the military. He kind of refined it and honed it and made a lot more sense out of it. So the 5 C's are cutting tools, combustion devices, cover, containers, and cordage. Cordage is very simple, rope, or what we would use as 550 cord. You can never not have enough rope. There's been in too many times when I've had to, you know, retie my shoes or rehang a guide string or, you know, it. There's all different kinds of times when you may just need a little piece of rope. So have you a couple hanks worth of rope. I like to keep 20 to 50 foot hanks of rope. And if I need to, I can combine them. Most times I never use that much. But containers are very easy. Stainless steel containers. You can go to Walmart. Go to Stanley. They have stainless steel containers that are cooking pots that are very light, very, very well made. It's the only ones I actually use, and you can boil your water, you can cook your food, you can drink your water, you can make your tea or your coffee, all within these little cups. They don't cost a lot. Combustion device, that should be pretty simple. That's your, you know, sticks and stones. That's your magnifying glass. I can't remember the actual name of the other piece of glass that we use, but that's your, you know, lighters. The thing that I use the most are lighters. Bic lighters for a pack of 4 or 5 costs like $4, and you have months worth of the ability to use just one lighter, and that is going to be a much easier way to light a fire than rubbing two sticks together. Trust me, it's the most aggravating thing in the world if you've ever done bushcraft, sitting there trying to figure out how to get two sticks just hot enough to create embers. And then you lose the embers, and it's frustrating. Be like the old guys that taught me the magic of a lighter in the hand. The other thing is cutting tools. So knives, axes, saws. I like to have a knife for butchering. Now, I grew up butchering cows, so I actually have butchering tools. But my butchering tools are not the same as my wood cutting tools. Those are two different things. So I come at this from the 1800s, 1700s frontiersman mindset. I have my butchering tools, I have my weapons, you know, pointy tools, and then I have cutting tools. So I have a pocket knife, I have a larger knife, I have a machete, I have an axe, and I have some sort of a breakdown saw or a folding saw. All these things are within my bag. All these things do not cost $100 total. You can buy the really extravagant stuff, but if you buy just good American equipment, you're not going to go wrong. There's a really good knife called the Mora knife, which is, I think, made in Sweden. And I have about 20 of them. They're such good knives. And they're stainless steel, so that means they won't rust, and they keep a very good edge, and it's very easy to sharpen. You'll also need to have some sort of a sharpening device. A whetstone's very easy to buy. You can go to, you know, almost any store now and buy some sort of a sharpening device. So I'm not going to get into that. Just get you something that you can, you know, hone an edge with. But keeping those 5 C's, the cutting tools, the combustion device, cover. That's a tarp. Tarps are, don't weigh very much. You know, you can use canvas or you can use the plastic-like tarps. Either one is going to be good. The canvas, if you want to use canvas, it's going to be heavy. You need to wax it so that it's somewhat water-resistant. And, you know, it's cumbersome, but it helps break wind easier. The other one is going to be your, poncho liner type that's going to be good for repelling rain. So those things are what I would say is a must that needs to go in a survival bag. Your five C's, you need to have your food, you need to be carrying your water, you need to be carrying a water purification device. Typically, the rule is one is none, two is one, three is two. So carry multiple things in case one fails. You never know. You may pull that life straw out of the package and you got the one that is messed up and now you don't have anything. And honestly, I'm going to say it again, the life straw is not the greatest tool. I would want something that I can pour water into and it will filtrate water out by the use of gravity. So there's all different kinds. You can get on Amazon right now and for under $100 buy really, really good gear.
Okay, now
so that is the bag.
We got to get this in before we close. Firearms. Don't get too complicated. Remember, we're talking to laymen here. But firearms, I know they need to be trained. I get all that. But what do you recommend they take if they have to bug out?
So firearms are a very basic thing. Use what you were trained upon. If you know how to use a shotgun is one of the most versatile weapons ever created. Devastating power for putting down large game or defending yourself or your family. 12 gauge is always what I would say a must. I wouldn't suggest using a 12 gauge when you go quail hunting. You can use a smaller gauge for that. But for here in America, the game that you're going to be going after would be your small game. So you have rabbits, raccoons, possums if you really have to. You got your alligators, you got deer, you got hog. So a shotgun will work, turkey, a shotgun will work for most of those animals. And it's a very simple device to use if you just have a little bit of training on it. And 12 gauge is not that inexpensive, or it's not that expensive. It is a little more cumbersome. It is a little louder, unless, you have between a pump action and automatic action, one of those two is going to have a little bit more moving parts to it, but that all depends on how much you've trained on the gun. Pistols. We can go for days talking about pistols. You can have a Magnum, you can have a lighter gun, you can have a subcompact, you can have a full size, you can have a six-cylinder frame gun, or you can have a semi-automatic that's magazine fed. Any one of them is a good one. I would suggest at least a 9mm to a 40 Smith & Wesson to a 45 ACP, something that has decent stopping power, good ballistics, because with a handgun, we're not going hunting with it. We're talking about personal protection. So you want something that has man-stopping power. Though those of us who've used them before, if you use a 9mm, it doesn't always stop the dogs, it doesn't always stop the hogs, but it will prevent most bad actions with bad threat actors, bad people.
Now that's good. That's good to know. We're just about out of time. Quick prediction from you. And I don't do time frame predictions either, but I think we're into generalizing predictions where we can be somewhat accurate. How much time do we have until everything just goes to hell in a handbasket? Do you think it's a year? Do you think it's 6 months? Do you think it's 2 years? What do you think? And we got about 30 seconds.
Oh, me and my predictions. Well, right now we're riding away for the economy. So when the economy starts to tank, everything else is going along with it. That's if we bust back from it. I would tell you that this country, from the looks of it, we got 2 to 3 years. And that's long haul. 2 to 3 years. Now, I think within 2 to 3 years, we have a decent chance of having an internal conflict within this country. That means no Walmart. That means no Whataburger. That means no McDonald's. It's not going to be safe to drive around. It's going to be what you saw in 2020 with the riots all over again.
Or Bosnia.
But you have to consider that we have an extreme radical government right now. We have an extreme radical group from the left that wants communism. Communism will destroy everything.
Yes.
And our enemies are only waiting for that right moment when the power goes out and America is at each other's throats.
That's a good place to end, Wrecker. That's an excellent place to end. The good stuff. We got physical in, we got the guns in, we got the bug out bag in. We got to do this again and go into more detail. Thanks so much for joining us, Wrecker. Great stuff.